We've got some exciting news for photographers. It's time to share your voice. PPA has launched a survey to learn about the photography equipment you rely on, your outlook on industry trends, and thoughts on the future of photography. To thank you for your time, participants could win one of 15 Visa gift cards, ranging from $50 to $750, with a grand total of $2,000 in prizes. Take the survey now at ppa.com/gear. I'm Pat Miller, and this is the Professional Photographer Podcast. You've heard of SEO, right? Search engine optimization. You know how the search engines can recommend you over the other photographers in the area. If you're like me, you know it exists, but it's kind of, what did they say in Harry Potter? A dark art. Like, you know it exists and you know it's important, but you don't know how to do it. At least that's how I am. Well, on today's episode, we're going to check in with Myrna Dorami, who's an expert on helping your studio be found organically, aka without a credit card. What can you do to tell the search engines that you're a great resource, so when people are searching for who you are and what you do, they recommend you over the other guy? Sound good? Heck yeah. Let's check in with Myrna next. Myrna, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I am great. How are you?
I'm great. I'm excited to have this conversation. And this is kind of a selfish episode because, yes, there are billions of people watching us on YouTube, but this one's kind of for me because I have a lot of questions about SEO and I can't wait to have you answer them. But before we go any further, if someone hasn't had the pleasure of meeting you yet, tell them who you are and what you do.
So, hi, everyone. My name is Myrna Dorami, and I often call myself a connector, but my title is Organic Marketing Strategist. Basically, what that means is I try to help people connect the dots in finding the people that they're looking for and also attracting the people that they're looking for easier in a way that's organic or something that's more natural, not something that they're paying for.
Which is a big distinction because I can whip out my credit card and get in front of a lot of people, but working with you, maybe you could help me formulate a strategy to meet a whole bunch of people, but not have to pay for each new person I meet.
Correct. That is the goal. I have a very holistic approach in knowing how to just have something attract the audience you're looking for in an organic way. I will also add to your point, I've often realized whenever I've done any speaking engagements or like I've had to like do a workshop that even though I thought that I was always speaking to the attendees of the workshop, I would always find out at the end, like the hosts and the producers were like, you were speaking to me. And I'm like, okay, noted. So love that you said that in the beginning.
Oh, yeah. They definitely want to meet more people. And I have questions. But today's episode's about SEO specifically. And it seems as though... let me just start here. Before we talk about how SEO is changing, do you think that the average entrepreneur, photography studio owner really understands what SEO is and how it works?
I don't. I think that it has become a conundrum of sorts where it seems like it's mystic or there's a mysticism of it. So because of that, I think a lot of people overcomplicate the thought of what SEO is, which makes it hard. That makes it where automatically people, especially photographers or creatives, are not wanting to go into that lane. They're like, nope, I don't even want to deal with it. So because of that, yes, I do believe that it's just something that they don't understand or don't choose to understand.
So if we're sitting here playing volleyball, I'm just going to set you right here, right? I'm just going to give you a big opportunity. Explain SEO to me like I'm five, just so someone understands what we're talking about. Because if we agree that most people don't get it, including me, how would you explain it in its simplest way so then we can have the rest of our conversation?
Perfect. Love it. All right. So let's start off. You are five. So SEO stands for search engine optimization. So what that basically means is search engines, which are basically the glue of what connects people's searches with the information they're looking for. That's the search engine. It's an engine that allows for there to be the connection made of an inquiry to an actual result. That you're basically optimizing the content that is being placed on the website or online in order to make that connection happen faster, easier, and more often. That is SEO.
That's amazing. I get it now. Okay, thank you for that. So we've been living in this world with SEO as long as there have been browsers. And then, and now, here comes AI and a whole bunch of disruption. So what's going on right now as AI is now here and we're trying to find content on the internet?
Yes. Okay, so let's even start off before then, because I will say, yes, AI is a disruptor, but in the world of technology, there has been consistent disruptions, because with every technological advancement that we've had, you know, if we were to say from having PCs, personal computers in the home, because before that point, they were not, to having the internet be a thing that we can actually like exchange information and connect with people through this new media, to the cell phone becoming the smartphone device that is on our hip or on our, you know, I live with my phone. I will not leave my house without my cell phone, but I will leave without my keys. I will leave without my wallet. So, you know, you get to that stage. So I say all that to say that there has been a plethora of evolutions and disruptors that have made it so that search engine optimization would evolve, change, be altered, be disrupted, right? So there's that. But when it comes to the disruptor of AI, it has definitely changed the game in a lot of ways. One, because it is all the rage of how we are now engaging with content. And we are actually even framing a lot of the things we do. I mean, I know people who utilize AI tools to plan their days. I mean, and down to, you know, what they're wearing, to, you know, the strategies that they're utilizing in their businesses. So because of that, and because it becomes such a disruptor of our entire existence, it's obviously going to play a role on how people are searching online. So there's that. And so it has definitely played a role. There's been a lot within the last 3 years specifically of growth where, I mean, if you don't know, or you, if you don't know of an AI tool that works for you, because there are now, I mean, fast forward, there's hundreds of them now, guaranteed you're going to know about it within the next few. Like, it has literally catapulted and taken over in terms of how we are engaging with content today.
And let's talk about it in two directions. We're using AI to create just this mountain of content, and AI is pulling information off of the internet in a slightly modified way. So let's talk first of all about AI-generated content, because instead of making one blog, you can make 20 blogs now. Are you seeing this tsunami of content hitting the web?
100%. Yes, everybody is creating content, and you know, search engines, which the goal of a search engine, again, is to try to connect people or connect a website visitor to the information that they're looking for, and basically to meet them where they are. And so because of this influx of all of this content, search engines, and when I say a search engine, I'm going to really gear towards Google, because Google still owns most of the real estate when it comes to searches. With search engines specifically, Google is spending a lot of time trying to decipher between generated content that was created by AI versus human, real, authentic content that was created by a human. So there is a lot of influx in that, and it's starting to get harder and harder for search engines to decipher whether or not it's AI driven or generated by an AI tool versus a human as well.
Is it your understanding that Google and other search engines are maybe penalizing AI generated content and favoring human based content?
That is the intent. That's what they're still saying as of now. They're still saying that, you know, authentic, real, genuine content. And they call it, they have an acronym, it's EEAT, which is expertise, experience, authority, and trust. They're basically utilizing this framework to try to decipher whether or not this content was viably created by a human or not. And so they're looking for triggers, looking for cues in order to do that. I say that it's like that now, where they're really still trying to look for that authentic, authoritative content. But I will say they are taking a turn. And when I say a turn, there's a little bit of a pivot to say they know that much of the content that's coming up online, the dynamic content that's being published on the regular, is being generated by an AI tool. or an LLM. So for that matter, they're now looking for it to say, is it really validated to be credible or not? They're looking for the more credibility factor of the content, more so than the, is it written by a human? So it's changing, but for now, human content is still an important factor.
If you're a photographer watching this.
I can see it changing very quick.
Oh, yeah, I can too. If you're a photographer watching this, I'm sure you may be asking, wait a minute, I'm a real person that takes pictures of real people. But I brought up that side of the argument because you're also writing blogs and posting to Facebook, and you're also creating promotional content. So hopefully you get connected with people looking for a photographer like you. So now let's turn the conversation to having people be found. Because if we go back to being a five-year-old, if I'm a five-year-old, I say to myself, well, how can ChatGPT recommend me? So how do we get our stuff into these AI tools when they're the ones delivering the results?
Yes. So what I have been recently researching actually to that point is how a search engine result can end up in an AI tool like from ChatGPT. And the goal and the way that I've been seeing it happen is if you can have your content spread out in as many credible spaces as possible, meaning you're getting cited by reputable sources. You are showing up in a lot of conversations that are relevant to whatever the search is. This is how a search engine is going to show up on an LLM. Citation seems to be the top choice of their, you know, how they select. So again, if you're having, you know, your colleagues, you guys are tag teaming and writing about an event or something that you worked on together collaboratively, and you can actually like reference each other and cite each other, that's actually a beneficial way to play an LLM or an AI tool, because they're looking for these citations and these quotes and these credible resources that are giving shout out and giving respect to a brand.
Nearly everyone is using an AI tool now, and it seems like it's still like developing. It doesn't feel like it's done yet. So is this urgent, or is this something we can wait and see? What is the level of urgency here for a business owner trying to own their little piece of the photography market?
I would say there is a sense of urgency because it is still getting developed. There are constant changes and constant evolutions happening all the time. And in that, being part of the equation when it's happening is what you want to be, you know, what's where you want to be, rather than when it's a cooked scenario and now you're trying to play catch up. So I would say, start now. If you're not utilizing it to help you streamline or maybe like optimize the content you're producing, definitely start now. And then B, think about ways that you can optimize. And I will say, yes, I said citations, but I'm also going to say another important factor in this is your Google Business Profile, because I did realize I was doing some research on this too. Your Google Business Profile and the reviews that you're getting on that will also help an AI tool to be able to say whether or not you're the credible source or not to connect you with someone who might be looking for you. So I would say definitely make sure that your Google My Business profile is up to date, most recent. I would say using an AI tool is, you know, something if you're not doing it already. And then the third I would say is if you've ever noticed with SEO circa 2010, it was a keyword play. It was best photographer in Washington, D.C., or wedding photographer in Chicago, Illinois. Those were the keyword phrases that people were trying to get ranked for. Now with AI, where we're asking complex questions like, who's the best photographer in this area that could do this, this, and this? Because I really want to have my wedding at this venue. You're getting people asking inquiries and questions like that. And you're hoping that an AI tool is going to have you as a result. So what you need to make sure you're doing in the content you're creating is making it so that it's more complex and more filled with rich information. So it can't just be, this is a, you know, featured wedding, or this is a featured event where I was the photographer. You need to now start thinking of all of the questions that people ask you and create this like full service, like answer, almost like encyclopedia of information that they can then reference. And you're not writing it necessarily for the person to read. You're actually writing it for these AI tools to be able to decipher when someone's putting in these questions.
Oh, God.
You're shaking your head.
I just got a headache. Okay, now hold on. Just wait a second here. So I've been on the internet since the internet was the internet. And I do remember the period where you needed to own keywords. So we flooded our sites with keyword-laden articles, hoping that we would trip the photographer in Washington, D.C. search result.
Yes.
But what you just said, I want to back up a second.
Yes.
Now it's not just photographer in Washington, D.C. for weddings. It's making a content-rich article that you said was written for the AI, not necessarily for the reader. How do you write something for the AI? Like this, my head is exploding right now.
Mind
blown. What do you mean?
Well, ultimately, it is still writing for the people. It's still writing for the person in mind. You're trying to touch all the bases. So you have to think very holistically. Like it's not just about, and I'll give a perfect example. And I'll use weddings because I think it's pretty, so it's a very easy way to relate. There's a bride and groom or a couple who want to get married at a certain venue. They're going to look up a lot of content around that venue. And if you happen to be a photographer who has either shot at that venue or worked, you know, something at that venue, how awesome would it be if you had a blog post that not just showcased the event that you shot, but also some nuances of that specific venue, like, you know, something that would show your expertise or authority in this space of filming or shooting at this venue. Something like knowing that in order to get to the best lighting of this specific room, things have to be shot from this vantage point. Like that is that expertise factor. And that little nuance and that little detail that is not as broad as I shot at this venue. So it's not that you're creating content for the AI. You're just creating content that's a lot more full and providing a lot more context so that all questions and bases can be covered. Because, you know, again, people are now getting trained to ask more sophisticated questions. It's no longer just, I want to get, you know, venue, photographer, that's it. Like they're asking some pretty poignant, detailed questions.
I'm a systems person or a repeatable process kind of person. And the first thing that came to mind to me, and please tell me if this is dumb because I don't want to suggest it and people do it and they ruin their life. But if I were to write an article about this wedding venue or any article, I could see having at the end of the article, 10 tips for shooting at venue and listing 10 of these little nuggets of information, because I have seen on AI results links to articles on the smallest little details of, oh, well, they do have bathrooms on the golf course. They're on hole number 14 and 18. Like, oh, okay, good. I know there's bath, like little things like that that come up on the search results. Is that the type of thing you're talking about?
100%. That is exactly it. So you got it. The light bulb went off. You got exactly what I was saying.
Yes, maybe I'm not five anymore. Maybe we're leveling up.
There you go.
A little bit.
Exactly. Just a little.
Okay. So this is overwhelming, though, because this is, the next layer of sharing content online. Provided we don't have Myrna in our back pocket and I'm a photographer that wants to do better, how can I start taking some immediate action steps? What would you tell us to go forth and do beyond write more detail-rich blogs, which is a really good one? What are some of the best practices in hygiene we should begin using?
So best practices, I would say, is make sure that fundamentally you're still doing some of the key factors that help search engines connect the dots, right? So there's that, and we can go over that in a second. So that's step one. When it comes to creating this richer content, I would say lean on to AI, because even if you were to ask AI the question of, you know, what types of content are out there about this venue, that's going to prompt you with ideas. Because again, what I see AI being, even in my own practice, in my own world, is an ideation generator. Like, I sit there and have conversations with AI all the time, and it helps me to refine my thought processes. So, you know, asking and prompting AI to give you clues on how you can create a more holistic more holistic content around a certain topic, you can ask that. I would also, you know, lean on Google for this, because Google gives us clues too. Like, if you've ever seen on the search engine result page that it pre-populates when you're trying to fill into the query, it'll pre-populate some things, and it'll even show you a dropdown of the things that possibly other people are searching for, because it's literally trying to, you know, fill in the gaps and give you a clue of what people are searching for. I would use that as a reference point as well. And then go from there. And I would start small. I would say, like, if there's a specific thing that you want to do, because often you start with, what do you want? As a photographer, what type of clientele are you trying to attract? Pick that ideal avatar of a customer. Pick the ideal type of photo shoot or experience you want to have. And then from there, if you've done it, itemize that and go in and try to create as much content about that as possible.
I've heard that before about the auto fill in and the auto complete, that you see all of those suggestions, and it's a brainstorming factory. And when you talked about AI, if I heard you right, you're talking with AI to fill out what you need to fill in so you can let the other AI know what you're doing. And that sounds like a great way to generate content. And that's an example of something we could do today.
Exactly. You could do it today. Again, like I said, it's an interesting tool to play with. You just have to be mindful that it is your assistant. It is not meant to overtake and create all the things. You are working and it is working for you. If you think of it that way, I think it helps you to, again, refine who you are as a brand, who you're looking to attract, the type of content that you want to create, the messaging you want to actually put out there, the voice you want to use, and the tone. It can help you do a lot of that refinement and save you time.
I don't know if you have an answer for this, but I am curious. If we're trying to teach to Google's test, does that mean that Gemini does better than the other AI tools, or do you have an AI tool that you prefer?
So it's funny, Gemini is not my favorite, but it does work. Now, here's the caveat. Google has several different AI tools out there. They have the AI mode, they have Gemini. They're testing their AI vehicles as well. My favorite to date, I'd say I have two. I have Claude and I have ChatGPT. So those are my two that I feel as if, from a context standpoint, are really good, especially once they launched the ChatGPT-5 version. I think it has up-leveled the game. Now, you also just still need to be mindful, again, you as a human and the person, and what's happening too. Like, it's basically extracting content that's past, you know, because it's literally acting like a librarian and thinking through probability of what is the best result I can give you based off of what you're giving me. So you knowing that, it's always just being mindful of, you know, at the end of the day, you are still at the helm and at the front of the content. So being that leader and then having it assist you on the back end is the best.
We talked a lot about AI and trying to get AI to find us and those sorts of things. But let's go back to, this sounds so weird to say, traditional SEO or old school SEO, but just, you know, just the SEO that we would do on our sites to begin with. Yes. Are there any things that, you mentioned keywords, are there any other things that used to be best practices that, like, hey, don't waste your time on that anymore because that doesn't really work? Does anything come to mind?
Oh, that's a tough one. See, I don't think anything doesn't necessarily work anymore. It's just a matter of whether or not it has as much weight as it did. So, you know, I would say to be on the safe side, and with all of my clients, I still do this. Fundamentally, we still do a lot of the same things, which is honing in on, and you mentioned it earlier, those keywords. So, like, knowing your elevator pitch, who you are, what you do, who you do it for, where you do it, all that. And being very clear on that, and making sure that that is appearing in multiple spaces and multiple locations on your website is very important. You know, obviously your homepage is important to have something in reference to all of that, right? But then, you know, some of the fundamental elements of SEO used to be and still are, every web page has a title. Every web page has additional meta, which is metas or additional content that can support it on the back end to give context to a search engine. So things like a page title, important. Things like a title description or a title tag description, important. Meta tag description, also important. Because again, the goal is, how do you give context to something that can't make context of what you're providing? Now, granted, now in the name of the game of LLMs, where they have built a good foundation of context, it is stronger. Meaning, when I say stronger, it's easier for search engines to decipher what a web page is about. But again, the goal is to optimize and make it as easy as possible. So don't skip out on the title tag. Don't skip out on the meta description. Don't skip out on the keywords you're using on that page. I would also say alternative text on images, which is an important one. I wouldn't skimp out on that either, especially on the major landing pages like your home page, your portfolio. If there's a portfolio like landing page, because I know they're going to hopefully go into some of your portfolio projects, but that portfolio landing page, important. Your services page, important. You want to make sure that any images on those pages are also provided with alternative text. Very important. Wow. And then there's other things too. There's like, you know,
there's more.
Yeah, the other things, I know, and then there's more. But no, if we were to keep it simple, the title tag, meta tag, keywords, alternative text. That would be the basics of the basics to make sure. But there's other things too, like, and I always bring this up, especially in the creative world, because I know aesthetically we love to create these websites that are very beautiful, may have, you know, a lot of visual on there. And they may even have like bigger fonts to hopefully trigger someone or prompt someone to go somewhere. Like they'll say, you know, I don't know, I'm just making this up, but I've seen this a lot where it would be like, you know, luxury wedding photographer, just putting that, not that I would use that, but those words would be like in a bigger font or in a bigger setting on the page. Those are called headings. And so when you have headings, you want to be mindful of what those headings words are, because in the world of search engine optimization, they're looking at everything on that page. And because it's hierarchically larger and a unique font, it's assuming that it's something important. So you want to make sure that you are including important verbiage or words in those headings. So that would be the other last. And then I'm done. That's it. That's the fundamentals.
You've proven why the world needs you, because I fell asleep about 2.5 minutes ago. Like, you were saying all of this incredibly smart stuff that I know is really important, but like, I don't have the patience and discipline to do it. And I'm not diminishing it. Like, I know it's important and I still can't get my head around it. So I think what would be helpful, tell us a success story. Tell us about, I worked with a client and they were here. Yeah. And after I was done, they were here. Because when I put my ad on Facebook, here's my credit card, it starts kicking back to me, you got this many clicks and this much reach, and like, you have something to show. But whenever I talk about SEO with someone, it'll be better. Well, what does better mean? So tell us a success story, because I need to hear that.
Yes. Okay. So many, I have several. So when I've had, and I won't name the client, but it was a photographer in the DC area, she was getting a new website. And so we decided to revamp the whole thing. She was getting a redesign, new platform, because she was going from WordPress to show it. And so we went in and fundamentally did several things. One, because she was going from an old to a new, meaning older website to new, and she was changing her brand name a little bit, we opted to make sure we matched apples to apples from the old website to the new website, to eliminate any broken links, because when you do have broken links on a site, you do get dinged. So we matched that. We also went in and optimized every one of her titles, metas, all the things that I was explaining that you fell asleep on, did all that. And so fast forward, and I will say SEO has always been a slow game. It has never been that instant as your Facebook ad would be, where you would think, oh, you know, I'm paying to play to get a result. It's a 3 to 6 month-ish time frame of a gain. Fast forward to, you know, well, I mean, in the beginning, wasn't really receiving any, how did you hear from us? You know, and they have the drop down, you know, Google, referral, you know, previous wedding, whatever the case may be. At first, no one was answering Google. No one was answering like search. Fast forward about 3.5 months, she started getting her first like, oh, heard from you from Google. Then fast forward to her blog posts started showing up in search. And that was how a lot of people were finding her, because we worked on the specific content that she should create, which we did a whole assessment of her frequently asked questions and really honed in on answering those via a blog, several blog posts. We created a series of them. And from that, she started getting more and more impressions and more inquiries on organic without having to pay for it. So that was, you know, the thing. And fast forward to today, I mean, she's a very successful wedding photographer in the area. So that's just one example. But I've done, I mean, it's always funny to me because I do all this fruits of labor in the beginning, and then I'm like, yeah, let's touch base in a little bit because it takes time to propagate. But I have, knock on wood, been very successful with a lot of happy customers. So that's the same story over and over again. It's like, how do you set a solid foundation so that it can warrant the result that you want in the long run?
And building that foundation as a business owner makes sense. That just is, it's real estate. It's real estate. It's location, location, location. I'm making the stuff and it's showing up where it needs to go. And eventually it's going to appreciate over time. As an entrepreneur, that makes sense. Under the hood, pushing the buttons, title tags, and all that kind of stuff makes my head explode because I can't directly point to the outcome. But I appreciate that story because it's exciting to hear that you're getting it to work for people and it's working for others and there's hope and promise. And that's why they need to come to Imaging and hear you speak. Tell us about the class at Imaging USA.
I know. I'm so excited. This is going to be my first Imaging. And so I can't wait. So I'm going to be speaking a lot about SEO and AI. And again, my hope and my goal in this talk is to demystify it a little bit and also make it so that you don't necessarily need a Myrna to do some of these fundamental things in your practice, because you're constantly going to be the person generating content and building on your business that you can do. So we're going to go over some of those things. Because for me, I'm a qualitative person. I'm all about quality. If you can do two things and incorporate two things into your world as a practice that can set you, real ahead and leverage your business, I'm all about that, as opposed to trying to do all the 10 things and all the things that I mentioned. So
it's going to be great. And we'll get to hang out in Nashville. Have you been to Nashville recently?
Frequent Nashville. Yes. Oh, I stayed next to Vanderbilt University. I've actually been at this Gaylord before. So I'm excited.
Fantastic. Yes. Mm-hmm. I love Nashville. I can't wait to see you there. I really appreciate you sharing on the show today. I feel guilty that I said I fell asleep. I didn't really fall asleep. I just...
It's overwhelming. It can be overwhelming. No. I get it. And it is something where it's almost like you have to take like notes because you're like, wait, what did she say?
What was that?
Because there are elements to this. Now, to me, it's almost like no-brainer, or like, you know, I can kind of just rattle it off. But I know to others who aren't even thinking and don't even necessarily know where they are on their website, like, where is this stuff in my website or in the back end? It could be overwhelming. So I get it.
Well, we will chase you down in Nashville and ask you all the questions. Myrna, thanks for coming on the show. I really appreciate it.
Love it. This has been an honor. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode of the Professional Photographer Podcast. I'm already getting ready for next week's show, and I hope you're going to join us. And joining us next time is super easy when you hit subscribe. Like, hit subscribe. I want you to see how good it feels when you hit subscribe. Go ahead. I'll wait. Isn't that awesome? Didn't you just feel that rush? It's pretty awesome. If you want it again, click like. Ooh, wow. See, isn't that awesome? Clicking like and subscribe is great. It makes everybody feel good. The last thing, if you want that last dopamine rush, leave a comment on the show and tell us what Myrna said that's going to help you improve your SEO. One more thing, if you're not yet a member of Professional Photographers of America, you're missing out. PPA offers incredible resources like equipment insurance, top-notch education, and a supportive community of photographers ready to help you succeed. It's perfect for photographers who are serious about growing their business in a sustainable and profitable way. At PPA, you belong here. Discover more about membership at ppa.com. That's ppa.com. I'm Pat Miller, founder of the Small Business Owners Community and your host of the show. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you right here next time. Take care.